But we're dealing with the fruits of the Spirit, and we're going through them methodically, looking at each one of them. And again, the most important thing to realize about these fruits of the Spirit is, one, a fruit is a result of something. You don't just plant an apple tree and just want leaves. You know, you do want an apple on it. And so the apple is the fruit. So there's something to result of. And so when we look at the fruits of the Spirit, the main part of that is the Spirit of God. So what is the result of having the Spirit of God in our life? It's the fruits of the Spirit. So when we're studying these and we look at these, one, we have the ability to do them. And this is one of those texts where, if you go back and see in Galatians, where all of them are listed, 5:22, they're all listed there, but we're taking them one by one, and we're going to jump into 2 Corinthians. I figured we start there tonight. But when you look at all of them listed, there's no way you can look at anything on that list and say, I can't do that. I can't love like that, or I don't have the peace like that, or I don't have a gentleness or a meekness like that. And you're right, you can't. But the Spirit of God in you, having that fruit, can. And it's a total submission and a surrender to the Spirit of God in us. So when everything within you wants to just lash out at somebody, and everything within you wants to just really do what your sinful nature wants to do, I call that the knee-jerk reaction. Most of the time, if we do a knee-jerk reaction, we're going to do the wrong one. When that happens, that's who we really are, but with the Spirit of God, we can be different. So we have to surrender to that. It can't just be, well, yeah, I'm going to muster up enough within me to do it. You're not going to do it. Plain and simple, we will never do alone what we can only do with God. It just won't happen. So surrender to the Spirit of God, allowing that to be a part of your life. So the first one, or the next, this one we're looking at, the fourth fruit, is listed in, again, Galatians 5:22, as the long-suffering. Now, long-suffering is an interesting concept, and we're gonna break down the definition a little bit tonight before we get into the Word. But for most of us, long-suffering is one of the most difficult fruits to yield to. It's very difficult to just stand there and take it for a long period of time. We don't do that by normal. It goes against everything in the garden of our grain. But we realize that when we do respond with long suffering, it is definitely coming from God, because that's not our norm. Our norm is to defend ourselves. Our norm is to speak out. Our norm is to even revenge at times the things that come against us. And yet God says, listen, if you're going to let me be who I am in you, then the people around you are going to see you respond differently. And that is with patience, that's long-suffering. Long-suffering is defined like this: an enduring temperament that expresses itself in patience with the shortcomings of others. So it is a enduring temperament that expresses itself in patience with the shortcomings of others. That's a good definition, but what does that definition mean? I'm going to tear it apart a little bit. First of all, the word temperament basically refers to a person's makeup, their passion, their attitudes, and other elements of temper that combine basically to produce a level of irritability. So temperament is simply your passion, your attitudes, what brings you to that point of irritability, or basically feelings, emotions, everything all added up into that. That's your temperament. Enduring obviously means to continue without perishing or long lasting. To endure something means you're going to fight through until it no longer exists. Or if you're in a race, you're going to run till the finish line. If you're working on a project, you do it until it's finished. And so that enduring is an easy word, but we don't know from the starting line to the finish line, we don't know what we will endure. We're just told to endure. And I'll tell you what, sometimes that what gets pretty ugly. Sometimes that what is very difficult in our lives. And so the Spirit of God says endure. God will get us the strength to do what that does. And then the patience simply means a calm temperament. patience sometimes we look at as long periods of time. But I think in this definition, it's a calm temperament. Temperament was simply the attitudes, the passion, the emotions. For a period of time, you're going to have a calm attitude when all the things come against you. And so sometimes that long period of time may be as long as that person standing there in front of you, giving you the old what for, you know, or you're going to just bite the tongue, you're going to take it, you're going to walk away from it. And so you endured, your temperament stayed calm, and basically that's what long suffering is. Sometimes we think it's years and maybe 5 minutes. It may have felt like years in those 5 minutes because of what was going on, but it's that temperament. And what this definition really leads to is long suffering is made up a combination of attitudes that express itself in a lasting calmness. Just be happy, be calm. Just don't get excited. Anybody fit that? Anybody have that personality where it doesn't matter what happens, they're just happy-go-lucky and they don't respond and everything's fine? And you know, I know a few people like that, but I still know that if I push them hard enough, there is a line. Everybody has a line somewhere. Sometimes you got to push pretty hard, but we still have that line to cross. And just, you know, we look at this and we think, you know, there's no way I'm going to do this. There's no way I can do this because of all the stuff that comes at us from a broken world, from all the things of life and people and everything going on. There's no way I can stand there. And because a lot of times we'll say, well, I shouldn't have to stand there and take it from that person. Well, maybe you shouldn't have to. But according to God, you need to. Because at that moment, when that person is done and you walk away, that person is going to say, what in the world is wrong with that guy? What does he have that I don't? And I'm going to tell you, it's what Scripture says by heaping coals on top of their head. When you give them kindness as they're giving you everything else, it makes them realize that there's a God. You see, one of the greatest things about the fruits of the Spirit is when they're seen in our lives, they glorify God. And God can use that in the lives of the people around us. That's why we need to express them in our lives. So, studying this through a little bit, why is long-suffering so difficult for most of us to handle? Why is it very difficult for us to just take that and stand there? Well, 2 Corinthians, looking at chapter 4 gives us an idea about all of that. You see, we are in a midst of a spiritual warfare every day. And I truly believe that warfare is raging and we're not even aware of it sometimes. There are things going on around us and above us and all around that we're not even aware of that Satan is doing, trying to make us stumble, trying to do things. One of the things I want to share too is, you know, what I see Christians beginning to do because of the, I call it a smorgasbord of preachers. I've talked to some younger people who simply say, you know, why do I need to go to church? I sit at home and there's 4 or 5 different guys I put on the internet and I can listen to anyone I really want to listen to at any given time. I'm getting my Bible, I'm getting my study. Why do I need to go to church? Well, that's good that they're getting that study, and the modern technology has made it very easy for us at any given time to pick up a message, at any given time to re-listen to something. And that's great, but do you realize that Satan's tool is to isolate and destroy? Peter. Not all of the disciples went to watch Christ get beat. Not all of the disciples went and was there and watching him walking the Via della Rosa. Not all of them were there when Peter isolated, denied Christ 3 times. He didn't have any support. He didn't have any help. And so when we become isolated and we become out there doing our own little deal, Satan's goal is to get us out there so that he can destroy us, because alone we will fall. So it's important to be. I'm on a Wednesday night telling you guys to be in church. Really, I'm preaching to the choir tonight. But anyway, Everybody needs to understand that. So it's very important. John 12:32 states, Jesus is lifted up. He draws all men unto himself. The best way we can lift him up is to allow the long suffering be seen in our life. Every time one of these fruits of the Spirit actually bears the fruit, he's lifted up. And then he can draw people unto himself. And so it's kind of interesting how that part of our testimony is very needed and also very important to God. When we respond that way, Satan's goal is again to keep the gospel hidden. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 3. I'm going to read 3 through 10, and then I want to go down and explain a little bit of it. 3 through 10, verse 3 says, "But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded their minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is in the image of God, should shine unto them. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ, Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who commended his light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power of God may be of God and not of us. We are troubled on every side, but we are not distressed. We are perplexed, but we are not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. Always bearing about the body and the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also in Jesus might be made manifested in our body." Satan's goal, as we've seen in verse 4, is to blind us from the truth, is to take the truth of the gospel and not let anybody see it. So how does he do that? Well, one, he took the Bibles out of school how long ago, taking all the prayer out of everything, taking everything he can, taking God out of everything he can. But listen, Satan cannot take the God out of you. He can't take the God out of us. And so that might end up being, in short order, the only thing God could use in this world we live in, because everything else has been destroyed. And so that verse says, if Satan's goal is to do that, to take us out or to take the gospel truth out, then Christ, who is the image of God, should shine into them. What does it say for us? Verse 5 says, we preach not ourselves but Christ. Because basically that is what makes the difference. When God commands in verse 6 his light to shine out of darkness, hath sin shine in our hearts, to give that light a knowledge of the glory of God. That light shining in us is what's going to bear that fruit of long suffering. It's going to bear that fruit, and that light's going to shine. And according to verse 6, the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ, that knowledge of who God is going to come out. Why? Because the last time this individual read somebody the riot act, they responded in a way that ended up in fistfights. Now, when he comes or she comes after you, hopefully you don't fistfight some lady. Don't do that. But when that happens and you respond in a long suffering and a patience and a calmness, that's the glory of God shining, and they're going to have a knowledge of God. Because they know you can't do that on your own. What do you have that I don't? And that's the gospel presentation, or your testimony given with no words. Greatest testimony we ever have is one with no words. And that's how that happens, as we see that. So we see that given out. But then in verse 7, this is the important part. We have this treasure. What is that treasure? The knowledge of God in this earthen vessel, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. God is going to put you in a circumstance. He's going to put that person in front of you, I guarantee you. He's going to put that person, he's going to put that life situation, he's going to put that thorn in your side so that he can be seen in the world around you. Because God says, we won't grow if we don't go through pains. There is no growth if there's not growth pain. And so expect those bad days. And don't pray for them, but don't be surprised in them. And every time you have wake up and you've got a phone call or you've got a thorn, you know, a person that just rides you, maybe you're going to work and that person just, you know, nothing you do is right and everything's going bad according to them. Just pause for a moment and say, okay, God, you are giving me an opportunity to shine. Now, whether you do it or not is how well you're going to be patient, how well much long suffering you're going to take. Satan wants to destroy that in you. But this vessel, you and I, the earthen vessel, have this power that God may be seen. In verse 8 through 10, Paul writes to the Corinthian people, we are the we. Who's the we? I mean, Paul was writing about himself. He was writing about the apostles. He was writing about the early Christians. He was, you know, he was saying, we also feel your pain. We've been there. Now, none of us have been stoned, right? Anybody stoned? Now, I'm talking about, I said this one time down in RU, and it had a different meaning. Just saying. When you're preaching to a bunch of recovering addicts, you don't use the word, have you ever been stoned? It's a totally different meaning. So hopefully you know what meaning I'm referring to here. None of us have actually had rocks thrown at us. I got to define this. It just hit me when I said that. I did it again. But anyway, when Paul says the we there, don't think that he didn't understand what he was saying. Because what he says now is troubled on every side. Man, was he troubled. Man, was he persecuted. Paul was not one who had a whole lot of people on a Christmas card list. He didn't have a lot of people like him. But what happened? We are not perplexed. And then he goes on and says, we are not forsaken, persecuted, but not in despair, persecuted, not forsaken, cast down, but not destroyed. Paul said in verse 8 and 9, we are all these things. We have every reason to retaliate. We have every reason just to be done. But he said, we're not. Why? Because of what he said in verse 7. The excellency of the power of God that's in me. I can do this, not on my own power. I can handle this life situation, not because I want to be in it, not because I have strength. I can only handle this because I am just letting go and surrendering my life to God. And God's power in me is going to say, now let's go. And there are situations in life that truly define what it means to have that one set of footprints in the sand. Well, you know God's got to be carrying you, because if he wasn't, you'd never make it. And that's what Paul's saying in verse 8 and 9. And to me, it's exciting because, man, he went through a lot of stuff. And verse 10, always bearing about in the body the dying. Oh, listen, our bodies are dying. Every day we are dying. Every day we are getting closer to that day of departure. And in that process, Paul says that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. Doesn't matter what's going on. Doesn't matter how we're dying. It doesn't matter how the world comes against us. What matters is how we respond. How are we responding to this? And one of the challenges that I want to give to you, as I give myself as often as I can, is whenever a situation occurs, the first question you ask is, what of this can I control? What of this is mine? And I want to tell you, when you do that, just think through your last couple days, all the things that came at you, all the things that were said, all the phone calls, all the people in your life, how much of anything they did or life did to you could you control? And most of it, you'll say, none. Now, every now and then, you'll make a bad choice, and you deserve getting smacked. You deserve it, but most of it, you can't control. And so what can you control in the situation? How you respond. That's all you can control. How I act in it is the only thing I can do. And so that, to me, says that is going to be how I respond is going to be the fact knowing that that's the only thing I can do. I can control how I respond. And so hopefully that makes some of the things easier for you. But what is the flip side of being long-suffering? What is the flesh side? We say flesh. What is the sinful side of us want to do? That's quick-tempered. quick-tempered would indicate that it takes very little or a short amount of irritability to really set our passions and our attitudes off in a negative way. It just takes a little bit. We call them people with short fuses. You guys know them people? You may be one of those people. Used to be one of those people. And you know, like I said, everybody has a line. Some people, you just look at them wrong and boom, they're gone, man. They're off on left field. But actually, a very quick-tempered person is one that is not really allowing the Spirit of God to give them the power to overcome anything. They're acting out of their knee jerk. They're acting out of their flesh. And so the quick-tempered one really takes very little. Proverbs 19:11 says, "The discretion or the proper judgment of a man defer or delays his anger, and it's his glory to pass over or to overlook a transgression or a violation." So it's the discretion. At the moment something happens, Proverbs 19:11 says, you exercising proper judgment is going to defer or delay your anger. If you don't have the proper judgment, you don't have that, wait a minute, what of this can I control? Do I deserve this tongue lashing right now because I did something wrong? Okay, then take it. You may not like the way it's given to you. You may not like the way it's done. And I worked for an individual who just absolutely thrived on just putting it out there. And I've seen people crawl him out of his office crying. And I'm like, it was my turn. And I did something I needed to be corrected on. And he let loose and he just rambled on. And Wendy knows exactly who I'm talking about. Try not to say any names. But anyway, and he just let loose. And he just, and when he was all said and done, I just said, are you finished? And he said, yes. And I said, so am I. And I walked out of his office. Because if I would have said one word, he would have got the whole book. And I knew, don't say a word. And we have a good friendship, it doesn't matter. But anyway, but that's just what he does. And so we need to exercise this. We truly need. And the main reason is when we do, the light of God shines through us to the people who's doing it against us. If you want to stop somebody from really railing on you, show them the light of Christ. Show them that it doesn't push you over the edge. And it may take a while to get there. But when that edge, when that happens, you will actually win a friend instead of create an enemy. And that's the love of God right there. That's showing Christ through you. It's not easy by any stretch, because I'll tell you, we really want to just reach out, lash out, and, you know, I tell some of the guys down in RU all the time, if you don't straighten up, I'm going to drop kick you through the goalpost of life. Half of them are twice bigger than I am anyway. But anyway, you know, it's just a phrase of, but, you know, we should never do that for real. We should do this. So, trust that encourages you. We're going to look at the next fruit of the Spirit next week till we get through all of them. But I'll tell you, we need to practice this. So the goal, the homework, I guess the goal is that we be prepared. It's coming. Someone's going to do something or say something. It's coming. And when they do, just remember, what of this can I control? And the only thing I can control most of the time is how I'm responding to what's going on right now. Jim?